Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 3 characters. Brayden.
Velik Dagar, half-elf, Hexblade Warlock.
Caleb.
I am Kaito Itata. I have an axe. I'm a warforged barbarian.
Brandon.
Ikurok Poonchle,
blood hunter, half-orc.
Tomo.
I'm playing Steve Tehiman. I am a human ranger.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
A gigantic fireball launches into the night sky above Chintadu.
Oh, fuck.
You hear immediately steps and the voice of somebody you recognize to be Gurm.
Would you look at that?
There's been a little bit of an interesting situation there.
So I'm going to take off my scale mail, leave it in the booth.
Okay.
And I'm going to make a run for...
streaking!
Yeah. Going over there.
Through the gymnasium into the quad.
Exactly.
I go for the window.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm going to do everything to get myself to the docks.
I go right after him. I push the burning dudes out of the way and run after him.
Yeah, I'm running to the docks.
Episode 19, All on the Table.
You three are on the move. Steve, let's come back around to the upper office and living quarters of dock number 2, where Hamas's bell that seems to ring to the downstairs quarters of maybe servants or other dockhands or staff has definitely created a commotion. And yeah, you see even the folks from dock number 2 mostly exiting and heading up the boardwalk. Everybody is carrying large and medium-sized pails. And Gurm has lit his pipe. And he's sitting in one of the armchairs. And his feet are up.
All right. This is where I want to be. I know we probably have to get on this boat pretty quickly. I'm going to keep an eye out. Just keep an eye out on the direction of the sailor's choice. Just looking for any of the other party members that may be coming down from that way.
Have you ever smoked a cigar, Steve? You just sit back.
Just taking in the sights there, Steve. Now with Hamas gone here, he seems to have gone off with his mates there. We can maybe share a little moment here. Watch the fireworks, eh? Is that the plan? Your friends coming too? Did you leave them directions?
Oh, I figure this will be the place where they'll come to. This is we all know where the boat is, I bet.
You are a sharp lot, aren't you, eh?
Yeah, I guess we can get around.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, you seem like a pretty sharp dagger in the old bandolier. Why don't you tell me what we're going to do? We're just going to look out the window there. Fine by me. I got the sea pickle here nicely stocked for at least a week. But I do need to know, are we disembarking here, love? Or are we going to stay the night?
Well, I think it's best to hang tight and see who shows up, and then they can probably give a better account of what happened
after left.
Right, then. You do like to cut it close to the wire, then. Right, then. I'm just going to have another puff here.
I don't want to leave them here on the island.
Why not? You fancy them, do you? You like this little group?
Yeah, they're all right. I like the robot.
The Robert.
He's pretty cool.
Right, well, he's got his own stories, doesn't he? I'm not sure he'd call himself a robot, but you then, you think that it's worth hanging around? Why don't we just take the sea pickle now? Have a little cruise off to Smonvi. I hear the king there's very generous. I might have a little bit of work for a man of your skills.
I want to go back to Pulp.
Pulp? Up north still? All right, then. Look, Stevie boy, I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you this now. I think you've run in with the wrong lot, and I think they're going to drag you down. And you know what they say, when they drag you down at sea, there's only one place to go. You drown. But up to you, my friend. I have a little bit of an investment in you folks. 500 gold pieces, if I'm not mistaken. I will wait. I do like to collect, you know.
I'm not the money guy.
Fair enough. I think it's your half-elf friend there who may have the deepest pockets.
Yeah.
We're going to cut and go to our friend Belleg.
Well, where am I?
So you've now made it to the beach dock. And the shops along on the left side of the boardwalk and the main dock appearing before you. And usually groups of now kind of 6 to 12 people coming out in droves from various spots along the market where, you know, really things just shut down about 45 minutes ago. There's a huge commotion. And you do see lots of the same type of the constables of Chintadu. You see a lot more of them running in groups of 5 up the boardwalk as well.
I just keep running to the dock.
Okay, you're going to be able to, you know, make it to the dock number 2 alleyway in a matter of minutes. If you don't stop and don't interact with anybody and keep your head down, is that your plan and your goal?
Yep.
Okay. Rook, maybe you vault over the side of the boardwalk there. You kind of cut it a little tight, but you're now running on that boardwalk and seeing a lot of commotion, especially from the beach dock area and these shops that are clearly sharing the same district and are going to be the next if these flames are not put out. See everybody running in the exact opposite direction that you are.
And I can tell, like, I can see the constabulatory guys running too, right?
At the moment, the only constables that you see are still just receding into the background over your shoulder. In front of you, you're going to have to roll a perception. Belleg is quite a ways ahead of you.
Yeah, okay. Which is fine, because I do want to see...
Okay, I kind of chose a bit of an arbitrary DC for this one. So yeah, roll a perception.
12.
If it meets it, it beats it. It's funny.
Nice.
Yes. That was it, my DC 12. Okay, but you do see... A ruddy little black-haired boy making a path in between a bunch of people running against everybody else.
Okay, can I tell if anybody's suspicious of me?
At the moment, as you look up and glance at the faces, most of them, you see their pupils and eyelids just filled with the reflection of apocalyptic fire. They're not really noticing you.
Okay, and then I'm just going to follow the black-headed kid. But I'm going to dock number 2. I'm just going to book it.
You're running along, and yeah, you see the crowds kind of parting around this one character, and you feel like, whether that's Belleg or not, you are heading southwards to the dock.
Yeah.
Pytoa, where you find yourself now towards the boardwalk, and you only really have now one building in your direct vicinity that has not erupted into flames, which are, man, they are just creeping across the ground, building to building, like wildfire.
Jesus.
Yeah, I just continue down the dock towards dock two.
But I also, like, as I'm running, I think I want to be paying attention to who's running towards the fire, who's running away, and who's not reacting, just as I'm, like, headed towards dock two.
Are you pursuing that outline that you felt was probably Rook?
Yeah, I'm going from what I know of the direction we came towards the docks.
You don't lose sight of him. You just keep on chugging away. You are moving right down the middle of the boardwalk now. And you do see a rather large figure who seems to be going against the flow of people. You're 99% certain this could only be Rook. You saw him flee the same direction that you did. All the people around you are not really taking note of you, Kaitoa. Now you do see filled buckets of water, and you see a lot of kind of the stronger, maybe shoremen or fishermen, now coming from the fisherman's wharf in that district. And a lot of them seem to have brought these kind of rudimentary, almost like a wheelbarrow full of water. And this water train seems to be going, and you're running right past it. And now you have cleared the northern tip. All three of you now are out of the northern tip of the Dos District. There's no more fire around you, except for Kaitoa, who's just kind of leaving that, let's say, war zone.
Do we see the boat when we get there? We know what it looks like. I assume that we can, like, identify where our boat is.
I'm gonna scan the area to see Steve anywhere or anything familiar in terms of Gurm or Hummus, or, like, could I see if I pass Hummus or dog?
There's a natural sort of where the boardwalk enters between the market and the main dock. There's a natural sort of buildup of buildings where the shops and the beach dock ended, and the fire is spreading behind you, and all of the, it seems like the worker class of Chintadu is rushing in solidarity to stop their town burning. You see a clear vision, Rook, of the north side of dock number two, and you see, as you look up, can you roll perception, Rook? Gotta be a 15.
Oh, I gotta be a 15?
Yeah.
19.
Wow. Hey, you were the one that recognized Steve's whistle, hey, in the choice.
I did, yeah.
Right, so you see silhouetted now up in what seems to be that upper level of dock number two, you see what really appears to you to be maybe the silhouette of Steve looking out the window. And you're far too far away to call, but you have a good sense now that you may have rediscovered Steve.
I'm going to yell to the little boy, or the black-haired boy in front of me, and to Kaitoa behind me. I'm going to kind of gesture to him up to where I'm looking, but I'm going to yell to black-haired boy in front of me. I think it's Belleg, so I'm going to say, Belleg, look up, Steve. And I'm going to gesture to Kaitoa where I'm looking.
Both Belleg and Kaitoa, can you make a quick perception roll?
Yeah.
You're within shouting distance, Rook. Both a large, lumbering, what can only be Kaitoa-shaped outline, is quickly approaching you, and the small black-haired boy. What'd you roll, Belleg?
I rolled a 19 plus 1, so 20.
Turns around immediately. He recognizes your voice. And Kaitoa?
13 plus 3, 16.
Kaitoa, as you lumber forward, you were right all along. This was Rook you were pursuing, you know, about 100 feet back through the crowds. As you passed between the main market square and the main dock, now you are in the Merchant Marine area, and it's quiet again, except for that this one, you know, marching vanguard of Chintadu Constabulatory that are just rounding the bend from the kind of the Fisherman's Wharf area. Steve, you have, as you look out towards Chintadu, a great view of this main dock and market area. Do you think you see your party?
I guess I it's hard to miss Rook. I've probably Beleg being disguised. Nope. But as soon as I probably see the half-orc making his way down.
Great. So you did indeed see your half-orc companion look up. And it seems like this a small black-haired character who you've not met before kind of stops about 50 feet ahead of him and starts to turn back. There also is a shiny glint of armor coming out of the alleyway, and it's Kaitoa.
Okay, let's get going.
up in the window, what do you do?
Well, now that I've seen them, I guess it's time to start prepping the boat. So I mentioned the Gurm. They're here, or at least two or three are here.
Who's here then? The Law and Order?
No, our friends.
Boy, I do believe you've stirred a little bit of that up then, haven't you? I cannot mistake the sound of marching boots. I believe if your friends are coming, they better be hasty, Steve. What will you have me do?
Let's find out when they get here.
I'm going to put my little pipe away here. I'm going to grab my little black key here, and I'm going to go down to the sea pickle.
That sounds fine with me.
Fantastic. Well, the building looks mostly empty here. They seem to have gone off to deal with a fire that I can't imagine who started. And then we'll take a minute. Hopefully your friends here don't tarry, because my friend Chintadu is not the place it used to be years ago. I don't know what kind of bee's nest you have stirred up here, but I feel like you're not telling me the truth.
Oh, I only know so much. I left them a while back. We'll see what they got up to.
Right out in love. And just as he said he would, he checks his breast pocket and gives a little pat there and checks his side pocket, and he seems assured he has all of his pipe and key and various accoutrements, and he begins to stand up and go down the stairs.
Sweet.
So Rob, the...
Sorry, Steve, have you left the outline of the window? Are you following Gurm?
Yeah, as soon as I saw that they were the guys were closing in.
Okay, Rook, sorry to cut you off, but yeah, you've just seen Steve's little outline disappear from the window now. Do go on.
Can I see, or do I notice the constabulatory that's... I'm guessing when you say they're coming around...
Yeah, in that area where the boardwalk makes a sharp turn towards the kind of the fisherman's area, you're just seeing what, I mean, you guys are now really familiar with, you know, a small formation of 5 and 10 marching, well-armored folk. And, I mean, there's still enough commotion going on that I think it's reasonable to say you're seeing them, but you're not standing out at the moment. You're in visual range, but a long way away. It'll take you about 15 seconds to get to that alleyway, and they will be, you know, similarly, they'll be here by the time that you're at the alleyway.
Okay, I'm going to that alleyway, and I'm ducking in to go towards the sea pickle then. I'm beelining it to the alleyway. I've seen Steve. I've noticed that Beleg and Kaitoa are seeing him as well, and that's, yeah, I'm heading to the alleyway and going.
Okay. Kaitoa and Beleg, who's still in disguise, same scene. You do notice these guards just rounding the corner. You've just rejoined with Rook, and the alleyway is steps away.
Taking it.
Yep. I'm going for it.
You don't think now would be a great time to go back up to the vineyards, talk to that mysterious brewer? Come on.
Sorry, Rob. That beautiful map that you drew and this town you created.
Well, we could always park the seafickle on the other side of Chintadu and come back.
God. You know, hey, guys, the dice helped tell the story. Fuck, I had no idea that fire was going to go so bad.
I'm like, I'm not going to know the end of that. And I'm just having to walk away from it right now.
So, Kaitoa, you have a sense, you know, as all three of you dashing together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In suit of each other, yeah.
You guys are all together? No, this isn't right. Back. No, Steve's not with you yet. but yay, you're back together. So you guys are dashing there. And yeah, Kaitoa, you do see and you feel deep down in your whatever that you have, a mission. And it's always just out of your grasp. It's always, you're just one step behind. And can you roll a perception roll?
Kaitoa?
Yeah.
Not 20. Sweet.
Nice.
Okay. And as you look over your shoulder, you see one of the large three-decked boats leaving port.
All right.
And it says, Oumuamua.
So as all three of you are dashing towards this this alleyway, can you quickly, Steve, make a perception roll as you follow Mickey down the stairs?
For percezione, that is 19.
You notice as Mickey is going down the stairs there. This is the first time, actually, where Mickey seems to have sort of shown his back to you or let his guard down in any way. Mickey always seems very guarded, and you start realizing that you've almost only ever seen the front side of Mickey / Gurm at the little dagger booth, sitting in his chair. He always seems to leave view very, very quickly. And as you look at his hair in his Gurm disguise, you see it is a wig.
And is he in fact Gurm?
It's a great plot line. I should steal that. Gurm has been replaced by his evil brother, Term.
Worm.
So anyway, as you and Mickey / Gurm reach the bottom of the stairwell, Gurm looks around over his shoulder and says, "Amos, Amos." And there is no answer. Gurm's grating voice echoes off the dock number 2's interior walls.
Amos.
And he looks at you and says, "All right, and Stevie boy, I do believe I'm going to be hopping on the pickle. Better get your friends in a jiff-jiff." And he hops off down the jetty.
Okay, and I kind of give a look over my shoulder to see if the guys are nearby.
Okay, you three now have made it pretty much through this, and you see what looks like a ponchoed young man. It's Steve. As you come into range, it's Steve, who you saw just like a flash go through the kitchen curtains, and all four of you now looking down out into the night along the jetty, where there does seem to be the sea pickle bobbing away and a couple other small, similarly sized vessels.
Should we light some on fire before we go?
This is why I don't like getting into towns, guys. Let's go.
Yep, I book it right for the pickle.
Yeah, straight to the pickle.
On with the pickle.
Without nary a glance over your shoulders, the four of you launch yourself onto the pickle.
and there are a couple of ropes that Kaitoa, you dutifully undo. And there is a snarl from the back of the pickle, a wild snarl.
Chris Black.
It's only been like 40 minutes.
And the town is burning.
Miss us?
Gurm is nowhere to be seen, but you can hear some movement and some various, it sounds like, tapping noises from inside of Gurm's little cockpit. And he is shouting very, very loudly now in his Gurm voice. Push off! Push off! Look! And can everybody roll perception?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
Ooh, that's a 5.
16.
Yeah, 16 for Steve as well.
Hey guys, what happened?
Yeah.
Friends, adventurers, and listeners, welcome to The Break, and thank you for joining us. This is the last episode in our first season. We hope you have enjoyed so far the adventures of Rook, Beleg, Steve, and Kaitoa. Do you have questions about the campaign or about the players and their characters? Now is the time, February 27th to March 27th, 2019, to enter our Q&A and dice giveaway event. Tag Dungeons and Blackguards on Twitter with the hashtag BlackguardsQ&A or email dungeonsandblackguards@gmail.com. One question equals one entry to a maximum of 5 entries. But wait, fan art will also earn you 5 entries, and a screen-capped iTunes or podcast review will also earn you 5 entries. Contest closes March 27th, 2019, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Enter to earn chances to win one of 2 gorgeous sets of die from dice creator Green Leaf Geek. 2 winners will be drawn April 5th, 2019 of the current era. Again, friends, adventurers, and listeners, a sincere thank you from the Blackguards and DM Robulon. And now we return to the conclusion of Season 1 of Dungeons and Blackguards.
Hey guys, what happened?
Yeah.
5, 16, 16, 18?
8.
8. So you two folks with the higher perception roll,
yeah.
you look along to where Gurm is indicating as he kind of juts his chin as he manipulates a couple of his little Waldos or whatever these little joysticks are, and you see about a dozen figures not inside of Dock 2, but on the boardwalk. It looks like it's some of the constable guards, and amongst them you see a different shaped figure.
I'm going to go push off of the dock.
Okay, so Rook and Kaitoa, can you, so each of you is helping push off. Okay, good. And the sea pickle unberths without issue, and there is a nice win. Oh, you guys lucked out. 4. You guys want that.
D4s.
So you have a favorable win that will carry you, at the moment, south or southwest, but not directly west or north. There's a wind from behind you.
Sweet.
So any of these directions, you're going to be heading out fast. Try to come around the dock and go this way. You are not going fast if you're trying to exit the docks of Chintadu bearing north.
I think we go south.
Well, yeah, I think we go south until we're clear of the space.
I've wanted to go south the whole time.
So. Directions! Directions, boys! Directions! I do believe you have been seen here. Where are we going?
Southwest.
Oh, my. And another flaming town in the background.
Yeah.
Mind your damn business, girl.
Wind fills the sail of the Pickle as you are accustomed to. The front jib just kind of opens and unfurls on its own. The boom swings too, and you feel the whole boat lurch off. The snarling has not subsided in the back. There's clearly a frothing and an angry sound coming from between the barrels and the bench seating at the back.
Let's go say hi to Chris Blick.
Yeah, Steve, you need to talk to Chris Blick.
Rook does not care, so he goes away. He's like, I'm going to go watch this town burn. So,
okay, so Rook, you're on watch?
Yeah, I'm watching, and I'm taking in the sights of the flames coming up from this town.
Take it in.
Okay, yeah, you are seeing Chintadus, slowly from a larger perspective recede, but very quickly from a burning perspective, you see the docks district just in flames.
The next time you guys go for a drink, leave me out of it.
You'll learn to love us. Okay, so we're going south. Are we going to Smondvi? Yeah.
Can I do a quick, investigation or perception as to? I mean, I know people were following us near dock tube. Can I see if there's any boats coming after us? I just want to make sure we're not being followed.
Okay, so I guess, Rook, that is why you sort of took the watch here. You do not see any boats, having disembarked or disembarking at the moment from either the main dock, which is definitely in view, down towards the south. You do see, can you roll a quick perception?
Oh, that's a 19, so plus 1 is a 20.
Nice. Oh, you see the barracks of Chintadu and the docks that attach to the barracks of Chintadu and the boats that the constabulatory of Chintadu could very well operate.
Are they coming towards us? Are they disembarking? Or
it appears the commotion that has been created tonight has drawn all of the, barracked, the regiment here, mostly away from their HQ down here at the southern tip of Chintadu. The boats that seem to be berthed there are not manned right now, but there are guards, and you can see them running back and forth in the distance as the Sea Pickle begins to sort of just leave visual range where you can make out, people versus buildings.
Okay, since we're not, I can't see them disembarking, and it seems like they're not going to launch. I'm gonna yell to Steve and Belly and Kaitoa, and I'm gonna yell to them and say, I think we should go to the southwest, just to steer clear of the south and the barracks of the constabulatory. If we want to be a little more stealthier, guys, we should go southwest.
Yep.
So Eagle Eye Rook is suggesting you guys essentially put this stuff as quickly behind you as possible. Don't go directly south, bear southwest.
Correct.
Looks like we're pretty close to Smondvi.
Gurm is clearly taking note of the discussion that everybody's having, and he seems to be sort of chewing away at his the side of his pipe in his mouth, which stays lit as he works some of his little toggles and dials.
Where do you want to go, boys? I understand away from the mess you've created is pretty standard modus operandi for you guys. But looking further than our hands, as they say, where are we going?
Southwest.
Smondvi, Polb, the south, southwest. Boy, four of you in four directions.
I want answers in pulp.
We've got to go southwest to steer clear of any sort of...
Yeah, I want to go with the wind, southwest, not north.
Steve, I want to go to pulp too eventually, but southwest for now.
Yeah, I understand. There's a little bit to be hashed out here, but the message is clear. Gurb, drive the boat.
And I'll say this, my friends, another well-done interaction with polite society. But if any of you here want to tell me different, you just let me know. Just knock on my cabin. But at the moment, what I'll do is I'm going to take us with the favorable wind behind us as far away from that burning place that I used to know as a nice port of call. Really was turning around a lot of opportunities in that town. Off we go. I will take my 500 gold though in the morning. I don't want to put pressure on you guys. Looks like you barely had a meal.
Steve is looking at the burning town. He's not really listening to the conversation. He's just kind of muttering under his breath, like, oh, fuck.
Okay, so you have Gurm now, who looks like he is sort of in the zone here, making sure that he is truly staying at the maximum speed he can, as you've instructed. And Rook, you do have a bit of a, you know, you got a bit of a mariner's background and skill set. And sure enough, once the course has been corrected to the southwest, you seem to be flying along at like maybe 6 knots an hour. You are just flying. And the snarling badger, as we recede away from the flames, has calmed down a little bit. The sea pickle begins to rock gently, and you guys get into that familiar swaying motion where you know we are now in the open sea. You have left the bay and the port waters of Chintadu. There is just an ember. A sparkle in your eye, Steve, as you bid farewell to Chintadu.
So, the next island over, what's...
We're going to go to the Upper Len Sea now, guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a reminder of sort of where we've been, your Chintadu, appropriately colored red.
Yeah.
What's the island with that's like... Just the tip. We can just see just the tip.
Yeah, it's Smonvi.
Yeah.
Smonvi.
So Gurm's asleep right now, right?
Can I use my nautical
Beleg Gurm to the best of like your knowledge based on what he said that he would like to set he called it autopilot once a decision had been made. But at the moment, he was leaving you to debate because he heard several directions.
Can I tell how far, with my nautical background, how far Smon or like what's the closest port town to us?
Smon.
The common understanding of, you know, the continent of Beheru is that it's surrounded by a fairly navigable sea that you guys know as the Len Sea. And these islands, there's essentially the Big Seven Islands, as they're often called in this age. From north to south, going counterclockwise with Beheru as like the center point of a big clock face, to the north you have Tonwin and Ponchan. Which where, you know, Rook to be from, these huge island kingdoms to the north. Next, you have Plymin and Cromber. These two sort of mountainous, fairly populous islands are huge when it comes to trade, to culture, centers of knowledge and learning. Then we move south to Smonvi and Srumram and Jubbuk. These places that you know and everybody knows are run by the it's a kingdom kingdom down there, a human kingdom. They're all kind of considered the same, and as you guys know, this is also the pirate highway. Between these islands is where not just rumors, but real pirating have resurfaced over the last 40 to 80 years. The next big island down that Smonvi is sandwiched between is Ahuna. And then you go south to, Shalumtat, which is right beside also Wiyu, the large island divided into three kind of warring regions that Kaitoa has hailed from most recently.
Smonvi.
Well, Smonvi is the island, but the port town's
Smon.
What is it? On the, Smon.
The west coast.
So Smonvi's east coast is impenetrable no place to land large ships. Of course, a small ship like the Sea Pickle can pretty much beach anywhere. But you guys all kind of recall this big, maw or jaw-like bay that does lead into the great city stronghold of Smon.
Or we could go around the northern tip and just go straight down.
Just the tip. Just the
tip.
We have to reroute a little bit, but...
Then that'd be straight west, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of going southwest.
Well, we haven't been on the sea that long. Yeah.
A few episodes ago, I figured out the steering system for the boat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Beleg, you had a fairly insightful moment where you realized that most of the main functions that a crew might normally run on a boat like this, crew of two or three, can be somehow mechanically controlled.
Sweet. Can I do some sort of perception or investigation check to make sure Gurm can't hear us, or... Can I just talk really quietly so it would be impossible to hear from his cabin?
You can roll. You can roll a perception on sort of is there a way that we can have a chat and are we being heard?
Yeah,
he's passed out with the munchies, anyways.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he wants us to do. I rolled a 15.
The Sea Pickle has only two areas. The deck and the outside and the little covered area at the back where you have a badger who's not totally apparently cool with the situation yet. And then you have the inside that has the small mess hall, the benches that flip over and convert to cots, and Gurm's little control booth that then retracts into his cabin. He seems to have, at the moment, just stayed in that kind of mess area, and frankly, you think he's probably heard every word you've said up until now.
All right, should we go hang out with Krizblik and have a conversation?
Steve right now is probably gone back to chill out the badger anyway.
What's going on?
Let's meet up there. Let's talk about what we can do away from Gurm's ears.
Okay, so you guys all can convene near the back, and as you do, and you approach the small, it's really only like about 7.5 feet by 8 feet. You know what it's like? You're under a backyard garden gazebo. Space you have. And Krizblik, this badger that you've named and have started to try and tame with a view to maybe train it, is feeling, there's a lot of people in my space right now, and you do hear a bit of growling.
Can we all do animal handling checks to see if we can...
How about you guys beat it?
Yeah, Rook's not taking part of this. He doesn't know what he's going to do with his badger.
Your animal insight, your primordial, primeval insight, Steve. Krizblik is, at the moment, hungry.
Okay. Well, I do have gorp left over, I'm sure.
As you produce some gorp, Krizblik immediately takes it down,
a notch and does come out and take some from your hands. And now, actually, the three of you and Steve, they're crouching with Krizblik, are far enough to the back, and with the badger no longer snarling, you can be pretty assured that your voices won't carry if you whispered. Yeah. The first moon rises behind you, and then because it is the end of Danuary, which is the first month of the year, that's, you know, the temple of Inandandro, who we like to call Dan, and the first month of the year is Danuary. Right at the end of Danuary is when the second moon of this world begins to rise and starts to rotate in the opposite direction in the western sky.
I want to steal the boat.
Wait, what?
Why?
Because I don't want to fucking pay Gurm.
Oh, it's about money.
I just want to, like, be able to...
How much did you make in that hand?
Not 500 gold. Like, Rick's, 14 gold.
I'm going to take position because I see them going to the back of the boat to talk, and I don't want anything to do with the badger, but... I'm going to position myself right outside Gurm's door to make sure he doesn't surprise the guys as they're talking or anything like that.
Okay, you can probably still overhear what they're saying as you do that, Rook.
Okay.
Roll a stealth check. Oh, Sans armor.
Yeah, no armor this time. Oh, yes. Let me see. What is my adder on that? Bad boy. Oh, that is a 17.
You're successfully pressed up against the sort of against the gunwale, and where the cabin portion starts. You can see your companions chatting away quietly, and you can just hear that conversation. You don't actually hear anything from inside the cabin.
I'd like to get this boat or our own boat just so we can move around freely without worrying about Gurm.
So I think what we'd have to do is go to the next big city and deal with it there. I don't think we can just like take out Gurm and steal it.
No,
he seems
I agree.
A lot more stronger than we think.
I agree. I'm inciting a dialogue. We have a rare chance where Gurm isn't with us right now.
Well, I'm out. I'm not stealing a ship and I'm not killing Gurm.
I don't want to kill Gurm. Steve, you just set a fucking town on fire, I think.
Yeah,
in order to make a distraction so that you guys could get out, because you guys, wherever you go, create a mess. I didn't want to go into that bar. I didn't want to do anything. I had anything to do with that. And yet, I go upstairs for a minute. I come back down. People are getting stabbed. Local constabulary or whoever those people were are showing up. What? I want to go to Polb. I don't want to keep going from town to town and trashing bars, and Gurm can get us there.
What's in Polb?
Answers. It's the last place I was before we got taken, had our minds wiped, sent to a fortress. I want to find out why.
I like that idea, too. Gurm pissed me off, though.
And I think,
yeah, it would. There's a way I can find out, why I was taken, and they would know a bit of information about the dagger I'm looking for. So I'm not entirely opposed to going to Polb.
Gurm goes on about gold, but he understands that we have a value as well, and I think there's an inherent value to having us here.
So are we just gonna continue to rack up a tab and never pay him?
Yeah. Well, we're not doing him any justice or making him any money if we keep going off into towns and causing all this trouble.
Yeah, I can go to Polb.
If everyone's into Polb, I go to Polb.
Still like Gurm.
He's not that
bad. That guy.
To be honest, I'm a little defeated about, like, I just lost an opportunity to find what I'm looking for. The only other lead I have is pull of where we were taken. And so, we can't go back. So I think pull works for me.
I'm sure there's more to this, but the last place that we were all at, it seems like, would be pull.
I'm down to check out pull.
Rook,
I'm gonna.
You probably couldn't say anything to your companions, but you're hearing every word.
Yeah.
If you say anything, you will break stealth.
Yeah, no, I'm staying stealth.
So, guys, it is approximately 1,200 mile journey north to Match. And most of the way you're going against prevailing winds, which is why you'll recall when you guys were making some initial decisions to go maybe to Galagi or to go directly and hug the coast for weeks is how it was described. You now know, and with Rook's and I think Steve's travel experience, that in fact a vessel like the Sea Pickle, which seems curiously advanced to most of your sensibilities, doesn't need to hug the coast at a couple of miles. It could probably navigate this in maybe a matter of 10 days. To the south, about as extreme as any of your understanding of the world map goes, in equal distance is the Southern Islands. It's also about 1,200 to 1,400 miles that way. And then very, very much in your mind as you have this conversation, you three, is the three-level ship that now you see in view, sailing directly westwards to the gap of Smonvi.
Mm-hmm.
As the Sea Pickle is obviously a much more rapid vessel, there is the three-level ship that you saw depart from Chintadu. Can everybody roll for history?
Yeah, that's where, I was running up and you said, Katoa, you see a ship.
I'll give inspiration if anybody can remember some detail from last episode about this.
18.
I do not remember this ship.
A history? Sorry.
Yeah, roll to remember.
16 minus 1.
I have an 18 minus 1, 17.
Oh, wow.
15 for me.
Steve rolled an 18.
Oh, wow.
14. 14.
Oh. Okay, collectively, all of you remember, Steve, maybe not sure if you had escaped and done your brilliant Barth escape, but at least three of you remember Gorvas in one of her more calm moments. I mean, Gorvas to you in your memory now seems like a very hot and cold authoritative figure, but in one of her cooler moments when she was describing how Chintadu had changed, she mentioned a regular ship coming from Smonvi or Cromber at 7:30 that was a new thing.
And the last time it goes there.
New thing.
Okay, guys, well, it could be, those people I saw at the bar, because they weren't regulars.
Gurm now, Rook, appears right at the door. And do you stay stealthy, or how are you going to play this?
I'm going to give a little caw-caw to my fellow mates there to give my heads up.
Okay, and just as you do that, your party hears you and they are alerted, and Mickey now has come into view and to earshot. Gentlemen, have we come to a decision? There's a very, very pressing matter here. Just really came into view, didn't it? That's a 7:30 there from Chintadu. As you well know here, I would like to get paid. I would like to know where we're going, my friends. Or we can always kick the can down the road, eh? Tell me where we're going and, full payment upon the destination of your choice. As long as, I gotta say this, lads, as long as our destination is not something you're going to burn to the ground. I rather fancy Chintadu. I think I might have had a little bit of a place
there, you know, to stay. I bet that's gone. I bet that's a bit of ashes. I like my nan.
You can go back to Chintadu whenever you want.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You
can go back to Lot Morrow.
Yeah, there's lots of vacant land. It's okay.
So right, maybe if I want a farm ash. But let me tell you this, my friends. There is a bit of a southerly wind here. If we make a choice right now, we can catch a little bit of wind up north. I need to know, though, guys. We don't have enough to make it all the way north. We're not going to make it all the way to the point of match. We would have to stop in somewhere, maybe once. I know Steve here can harvest stuff from the ocean, but he can't harvest water, and then sometimes the fish just ain't biting. We'd have to stop in probably Atlantin, great little port city in Plymouth, a nice little place. Yeah. Pop in, you know, get some duds, get some new loafers, and then off we go. But I need to know, pay now, pay later.
Can we ask him, like, what do you know about that?
The 730.
The 3-level chip?
Are you boys a bunch of detectives, or are you a bunch of cutthroats? What do you care about this ship? Are you looking for loot? Are you looking for love? Are you looking for adventure?
I like all three of those things.
Well, that boat there is a regular boat. Goes from Chintadu to Smornvi or Cromba. I can't tell. If it's going to Smornvi, it's going to the fortress city of Smorn. If it's going up to Cromba, it's probably going to the port city of Such. Yeah, I know nothing else other than this, my friends. You've taken a lot of my attention, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason you're sitting here on the pickle. But if it's not of interest to you, what can I say? You're simply a charge, and I'm a ferryman. Wouldn't you say, Beleg? A good ferryman at that.
You're not the worst.
What'd you think of my friend Gorvas?
Thought I did a pretty good impression of her.
Righto, let's hear it then.
Later date.
Boy, did you make a right mess there. I fancy we'll never be going back to Chintadu, and if anything, Chintadu will be coming after us. And he looks at you especially closely, Beleg, when he says the word us.
All right, north we go.
Southerly wind, you guys can all feel there is a bit of a southerly wind, and Mickey begins to take out his pipe again and light it.
Yeah, I would like to go to pulp, so earth works for me.
I think that's like our only mission.
To Lantern we can get to?
Well, we can make it to Lantern with everything we have on board, including your rabid excuse for some kind of a Steve potential animal to train. I don't know what you're thinking with this thing. I'm surprised you didn't jump right onto the jetty with all the nice smells of Chintadu, although now the only thing Chintadu smells like is ash and fire. But you have a ways to go, and we can probably make it to Lantern. Can't guarantee we won't have a couple of problems on the way in terms of the weather. Oh, but we'll make it.
Well, let's do it.
Yeah, Rook's into that.
As the three-decker vessel recedes into the distance, and as the southerly kind of warm wind, the first warm breeze that you guys have felt on your journey since the Black Arrow Fortress hits your back, the sea pickle takes a different tack. And indeed, catches a sort of a southerly wind, and you're being carried away not nearly as fast as you were before, to the north. Mickey looks at you, Beleg. Beleg, I must ask you, my friend. Now that we know where we're going, and I know you have enough to pay me,
Why don't you empty out your pockets there? 1,200 gold, 100 per head. Hey, doesn't that ring a bell?
1,200 gold now.
1,200 gold. It's what you got back from Smuggler's Cave.
I sure as shit didn't.
My friend, I think you better check your brain and make sure that this is the time where you want to come clean with your friends here, your new friends, very unexpected, or whether you want to make like you always do and change your face and run away. You know, my friends, there's a time in life. There's a time when you get called to adventure, a call to the greater world. I feel like this time might have come for all of you.
Well, you have information that I want, Gurm. Or Mickey, as it were.
What information? Steve?
Yeah, Belleg.
I want to know more about the Poison Scepter.
Yeah.
The Poison Scepter, as I said before, could be a friend and an ally. But only if there's a commitment from all parties. My friend Belleg had that commitment before, and he rogered the thing up. He rogered it up right.
Just airing out my dirty laundry here, eh, Gurm?
Between you and me, it's always been Mickey.
That's fair.
Mickey Blue Eyes. And I thought one day you might be a part of the Scepter. Remember the day when you wanted to have a pair of eyes?
I do.
My friends, the Poison Scepter is not a guild. It's not a faction. It's an arrangement. In every town in Baheru, we have a operative. And maybe a safe house. Maybe there is one in Chintadu. We deal in information. Messages going from kingdom to ruler and faction to center of knowledge. And in this day and age, my friends, information is gold. Just like I'm proving now with my friend Belleg. Why do you think you all ended up in the fortress of the Black Arrow? And what fate did you think you were going to meet?
So the fortress of the Black Arrow was the prison we were in?
Yeah, it's the prison we all started in.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, fuck.
I guess I repair myself.
Alright, Mick. Is this a chance for all of us to start something with the Poison Scepter here?
Let's not be hasty now. What we have here? Interesting group here. This half-orc. This half-elf. Who I think most people think you're just imitating. I mean, what are you doing there, Belleg? You proud of those ears? Most people would have them filed down. Most people are just playing with the elf ears.
These are my ears, Mick. Easier to stay.
Fair enough, my friend. Then there is Steve.
Well, hello.
As always, flanked by the suit of armor. You stick out like a sore fucking thumb. Your interactions as a group have shown me one thing, though. Potential. I don't think you're cut out for the kinds of solve my rat problem in the basement of the brewery. I don't think you're cut out for the type of problem where a princess finds herself in a tower that's very tall. I think you guys might be what I'm looking for to fill the ranks of the Poison Scepter. But there is a price.
What's that?
500 gold?
Yeah.
Your allegiance, which I do not take lightly. Cross me. Once, ever again.
Yeah, I'd be into it.
Yeah, I'm down. We were close to this once, Mick. I like this new crew better, though.
Sounds like my old job. I'm in.
Mr. Steve, you had a job like this?
I've played a bit of a courier in days past. In fact, that was the reason why I was going to pulp.
The reason why you were going to pulp? A courier?
I'm pretty good at staying hidden. People have a hard time finding me when I don't want to be found.
Your magic, and your magic there, Beleg, enable you to disguise yourself as other people, their faces, their voices. Is that not right?
That's true.
Where do you draw your magic from, Beleg, half-elf?
I'd rather not talk about it too much, but I lost a bet once.
Well, the world has lost something too, and we all know what that is. The elves. There are no more elves in Baheru. The last remnants of them are in Plombur in the great forests up in the north. And you, my friend, are a very special individual. If only you could see your flaws. Steve, what kind of message service were you involved in? Are you an entrepreneur, my young friend?
I think the reason why people use me is I don't really care to see what I'm carrying, just that it gets to where it needs to go.
You're just like a raven. In fact, you're just like those Kenku, those raven folks that we see sometimes, eh? We have a man here, Mr. Steve, who is able to carry a message and not look at the contents. Good man. We like that kind of work ethic. Half-orc, I see you've taken away your armor.
I have.
Please, pray tell, where did you leave it?
Back in the choice.
the
sailor's
card.
Choice.
Yeah.
Did I not tell you folks to go to the missing sausage?
You told us the two places. You were pretty strong about the choice, though.
I was just rolling off a D100 random chart. But to be quite frank, my friend Rook, it was time to shed the armor. But what disaster to leave it at the scene of the crime.
It's on fire. It's okay.
I believe that material and that type of armor is going to survive a fire. And Kaitoa Tata, your name given by these wonderful tribes of Wiyu who revel in slaughter and bloodshed over which part of the fucking island they own. What's your real deal?
The real deal?
How old are you? Why don't you tell the party here?
I'm definitely like 100 plus.
And if we were to take a leap back from the great turning 10,000 years ago, I believe that's where we might find technology like you. Am I hitting close to the mark? Am I throwing the darts about right on the bullseye? Are you a piece of ancient technology, Mr. Tata?
Yep. Yeah. I was made a long time ago, and yeah, it's definitely not a technology that's common anymore. The guy who started making me disappeared, and they think he, like, has ventured off into a bit of a cult. But, yeah, now I'm just meant to work places and fill tasks.
Nobody in this age, except for in the great centers of knowledge where history and traditions are preserved and knowledge of ancient magics and technology still have disciples and interest, nobody talks about a time frame longer than about 1,000 or 2,000 years.
Your companion has indicated he is from what is considered in this world to be mythically old. And from the time, especially you, Beleg, know to be the time of the Great Turning, when the Elder Races, the Elves, and the Orcs were involved in a massive conflagration of the world. Not the corruption of nature in later ages, not the wars between realms, but a true deluge and destruction of the world. Kaitowa has indicated he is a member and a remnant of that time period.
So you're really, 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 really old then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you look pretty good for something that's 10,000 years old.
Yeah, right?
Is there like a battery or something that keeps you going?
I guess, like, I don't even know exactly how it was made, but it's like the skin, the tissue of like trees and twines, but then it's just wrapped in a metal, and I don't even know how it's actually designed.
So you've just been around for 10,000 years?
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, so I guess it's a larger story.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That explains your in-depth knowledge of knitting techniques.
It's not like, there's like a lot of time where I was like, say, like decommissioned or powered down or dormant. Just because, yeah, like, I don't think that would be something that, like, if I was, like, active, I'd be... Well, I mean, out of character, if I was to, like, be alive for, like, 10,000 years, I would be, like, a level 30 or whatever.
Sweet. So we got an ancient robot.
But it's an old-ass robot.
Half-orc.
Yeah.
In this moment... All of you guys, and Beleg, you are... What is your intelligence? Oh, shit.
Oh, I'm a turd.
Oh, you're like a... Yeah, you are like a garden tool. Okay.
Yeah. Very charismatic and not very smart.
Who is putting this together? Who is putting this together? I know who's putting it together. Yep. Wisdom. Steve... You're putting it together. As you stroke Krizblik's white and black, furry back of her head and shove some pretty, pretty decent Bool Gorp. Could be a great brand.
God, if I had pressed a digitation, I could, like, make it taste like her favorite.
Do you want to prestidigitize on the Gorp?
If I cast prestidigitation on some, I can like change the flavor of things.
Oh yeah, make it better.
Yeah, so just make it like her favorite food possible.
You don't have that, do you?
I don't know. I don't know what the.
So I mean, again, if you need it, it's available to you at level 4. Magic requires necessity.
Yeah.
That Gorp needs to taste really good.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not using it though. I think I'm gonna.
Really needs to taste good.
So you start to put it together, Steve.
He was a Poonschlay for some.
He was a Poonschlay. Mm-hmm.
And you put together in your mind that you are looking at not a Poonschlay, but the Poonschlay, the son of King Garrick. Poonschlay, the current ruler of the island kingdom of Ponchen, which has, as you remember in the last time that you heard of the news of this realm, split into civil war.
You got a scratched up look on your face, Steve. What are you thinking about?
I guess Steve is just looking at Rook as he's kind of coming to the understanding, like the gears are working in his brain, and I guess he says, Rook, what are you doing so far south here? Shouldn't you be up in Ponchen?
Pulp is where I need to be, and from what I last can remember, I need to return there before I can return back to my homeland.
What's waiting for you to pull?
That remains to be seen.
Well, maybe it has something to do with why we all ended up in that fortress. I'm sure there's a reason why we're all still together and why we're all set in that area, in that one room in the fortress.
Well, I'm sure there is too. I need to return there to figure out more answers before I can start to think about what I've left and returning. But until then, I need to continue down this path. Why do you want to go to Pulp, Steve?
Well, I obviously have unfinished business there. The last thing I remember before getting wiped out and meeting you guys was I was moving a particular product to, or a particular, I guess, message, whatever it was that I was moving over to Pulp. I was on the way, and that's where I was stopped. I want to find out who did it, who put me away, and I don't know. Maybe stop them from ever doing that to anyone else again. Maybe we'll find the same answers.
Justice.
Kaitoa, yeah. You mutter the word justice.
Well, there was obviously other groups that were taken against their will, I imagine, and put into that fortress. We made it out alive. Others didn't. I want to make sure that doesn't happen to anyone else.
Yeah, fuck.
Yep.
Pretty sure I put some of those people in there.
What?
Say what?
I definitely worked a little bit with the poison scepter before. And I definitely worked with the black arrow.
Oh, fuck. This is like a Mari episode.
Mickey takes a big...
The tester's
9% chance.
...his pipe and gives a long, long, knowing wink to first you, Beleg, and then every member in the party.
I've known Mickey for a while. I was doing some merc work, as we in the biz call it. In match, started collecting people from wherever for the Black Arrow. So I would bop them on the head, give them to the Black Arrow. They'd give me 100 gold per head.
Oh, you fuck!
And
it's like Steve's hand is going to the dagger.
Yeah.
And hey. And then it happened to me, and I have no idea who fucked me over.
Why should we not throw you over this boat edge right now?
Can if you want.
Well, I mean,
so far.
But why?
Why?
Yeah.
Fuck the Black Arrow. Yeah, I work for them. I don't want to work for. I want to destroy them now.
But no, but why would they pick us? You obviously work for them. Like,
I don't know. I'm just like Steve. I get a task. I don't look into it. I just did it for the gold.
All right.
We're talking about it, I should probably...
God damn it.
Should probably dump my big bag of 900 gold on the floor as well.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh shit.
How much?
900.
Damn. So Beleg, you produce your leather coin purse and give a little flourish and empty it onto the deck.
Airing it all out now.
Well, I gotta earn your guys' trust now. I'm in. I like this group.
That's a lot of
one more Mari twist.
But well, you were never there. But you were never there, Beleg.
I don't want your money.
I have a hunch that Mickey's gonna take it anyways, so.
Yeah.
I have a hunch, Beleg, that you have made the right decision.
Well.
My friends, look at this gold on the deck of the Sea Pickle. It's your heads. Just like I said in Lot Morrow, how do you clean up a mess? Inspiration to anybody who can answer correctly the question. It's what you guys do.
You burn shit down.
Brandon, you get inspiration. And Rook, you say you're off to the side on the gunwale here, and you say burn shit down. And Mickey responds, that's right. You make a bigger mess. And then if that mess doesn't work out, you make a bigger mess again.
That's what we're good at.
And then we slip into the shadows, my friend. That's the poison scepter. And where the black arrow differs from us is assassination. And where the black arrow comes to blows with us is political manipulation. My friends, there's a way in which all of you were hoodwinked and drugged. And my friend Beleg might have gotten on the wrong side of the moral side of the compass, but he was certainly on the right side of the gold side of the compass. And I see he's been nice enough to share a little bit of that with you. And I see he's been honest enough and bearing his soul to say, here it is, I fucked you over, but now you happen to be in front of me. You are a very, very lucky bunch. Steve was correct to note that the Black Arrow Fortress was not a one-stop shop. It may have seen a lot of people like you go through, but one thing is sure, these were not your average townsfolk and hay balers. These were adventurers. These were people with knowledge, and these were people with magic.
And I bopped them all on the head.
So we're collecting people with magic, then.
That's what I did until I got bopped myself. And now I really fucking hate the Black Arrow. I'm happy to see Mick. Happy to have a crew of pretty capable people around me.
Where would you get your job?
I'm not going to look like Beleg when I go to Pulled because I'm not well liked there. I'm excited to go to Pulled with you guys and figure this shit out.
I'm going to knit myself a sweater that says I'm with Beleg.
Just Beleg arrow pointing up to the
It may be selfish, but that's my vote for the episode name now.
Rook, during this whole conversation, you've stayed off to the side, playing it pretty coy, as I understand.
I'd say pretty...
poison spray?
No poison spray. No spritz. Poison spray. He'll save the spritz for his enemies. I'd say that he's, that I've taken, obviously, note of their awareness of the situation, and I'm just playing it pretty coyly at this point in time.
Don't you want to go back to your country and solve the issue?
I do want to find out answers, and I'm out seeking knowledge, but... I'm not rushing back to my homeland at this point in time. I do want to gather as much information as I can.
I mean, I imagine there's people looking for you.
I'm sure there is, and there's people looking for me outside of my own homeland. But I'm on a mission to find out as much knowledge as I can for the betterment of my homeland. So. Some sacrifices have to be made in that.
What are you looking for that would keep you away from your family?
Information about some missing and members of my family that I need to seek out.
Well, maybe Beleg knows something about it. Yeah.
Who do we know that kidnaps people?
I think there's only one kidnapper on the boat here.
Rook is going to turn to Beleg and motion at his poison spray, like, tell me, or
blows him a kiss.
I'm sure glad we can all joke about it now, boys.
Now that we have the gag out of our mouth.
Yeah, I feel like a weight's off my shoulders.
Do you know any of my family members?
Not that I know of, buddy.
I think the answers that I'm seeking are back in Pulp.
All right, onwards.
I think Pulp is where we go.
Let's train some badger. Taming some badge.
Rook kind of looks at them when they say that and just goes, yeah, I'm going to sleep.
So as you four have the, you know, badger and Rook here starting to turn in for the night, after much conversation that has given you insights and bits of information that are really starting to fit into place, you see Mickey extinguish his pipe and start to walk back into the main cabin where he retires in the evening. Gentlemen, there is a calling in life, and that calling is to a greater cause. Pulp is a place. You won't go there. We'll stop in prior to, on one of those main big seven islands. We'll get some supplies. Don't burn it down. We'll make it. But let me tell you this. I'll repeat myself. There is a commitment. And then he walks back. And the door shuts. And now you do see his control seat and all his little Waldos and control mechanisms retract back into his forward cabin that only has those couple of portholes, which only Kaitoa really has ever investigated. You four are left at the back.
Just as we've been chatting and talking, I've been spending time trying to find the sweet spot, and I've just kind of been scratching and tickling.
Steve, as you scratch the badger's neck, you feel a real weight on your soul about the burning of Loch Murrow and Shintadu. At the same time,
super stoked.
Like the southern winds. At the same time, you feel real hope and a real energy in your soul as the sea pickle surges north on this perfect southern wind. Kaitoa?
Just preparing myself. Maintenance. Yep.
You were at full hit points.
I am.
So you're just improving yourself. And all of you, I think, during this journey are probably going to have a way that you achieve your next level of abilities. Beleg, you've taken the leap of faith with this group. What are you doing?
I stare down at the pile of gold, give a big exhale, and walk out onto the deck and just kind of stare at the sea for a while.
Have you left
just like
the
Dawson's Creek style? Just like
has nobody has nobody done anything with the gold?
I've left it there.
Well, it's Mickey's, isn't it?
That's this party's gold now.
Well, that's more than Mickey has accrued.
So yeah, that's as far as Belly's concerned, is this is the party's gold.
That gold could fund a small settlement or town. You could have bought the Sailor's Choice for that amount of gold.
We could have had our own tavern.
There's nine?
No, it's burnt down.
As far as I can tell, there's 9 and maybe some change.
Yeah, I think it's like 914 or 908, yeah. Something like yeah. that.
So, are you, Belleg, you're up on the bow?
Yep.
Oh, just fucking poetic.
Yeah. I'm going to take 300 of that.
Oh, now Kaitoa's interested.
I need to buy a new axe, and my head is on that gold. I think I deserve it.
Oh, fuck you. No, that's the party's gold. I'm going to leave that in the pool now.
Wow, what a scene.
Let's keep sailing.
Well, I'm turned in, so I'm
sailing away.
I'm in for a long rest. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm definitely taking some of that gold off the floor.
I feel like we're closer now.
Yeah, definitely. But just so everyone knows, like, someone's got to pick that gold up. Someone's got to pick that up. Because, like, we can't just leave it there on the deck.
For Gurm.
It's Gurm's.
It's Gurm's gold.
If anything, Belleg leaving it there was just a show of faith.
Okay, good.
Like, hey guys.
Okay.
I left it all on the table.
I bring Gurm's change back to you and give it back to you.
Okay.
Belleg puts his arm around Kaitoa and we stare off into the distance. Yeah.
Steve is fishing.
Okay, so Kaitoa, as you return the correct coinage to Belleg, and Steve, as you get out your little fishing rod and begin to see what sorts of delicious sea creatures you may catch.
I think he's just filling in crisp lick on what we did on the last island.
There is a sort of a snoring. Seems to be potentially a half-orc rook snoring in the mess, in the bunks. And the two moons over this world begin to converge. As they always do, one rotates from east to west, and the other rotates from west to east. On oblique angles, one day they say they might collide. And you all watch the stars appear. And that's where we'll end our episode tonight.
I'm so glad we're out of that damn pub.
So fucking happy.
I'd sell my soul to get out of this pub. Excellent. All you gotta do is burn the city to the ground, hop in this boat, and sign a life pact.
Guys, wow.
I feel like we finally have a sense of direction. This is awesome.
We got a mission.
After burning two cities to the ground.
That was fun.
You just need to get that out of your system.
Now we're ready.
I feel you're ready.
Yep. We're leveled up, we got some experience, and now we'll go, like, fight some shit.
Burn some motherfuckers down.
People who deserve it. Instead of innocence. Oh, professional murder hobos.
Dungeons and Blackguards will return. Look for Season 2 starting May 15th, 2019.